I will bless you and to go on your way. But first of all, let's just talk about the real meaning of Christmas. I saw a little cartoon the other day of Snoopy, a Peanuts cartoon, and Linus was telling him what the real meaning of Christmas was. And Linus was spot on. But you know, sometimes I hear all sorts of things in the media about what the real meaning of Christmas is. But let me tell you what the real meaning of Christmas is. An angel came down and spoke to a young virgin, probably about 15 or 16 years old, called Mary. She was betrothed, which meant that she still lived with her mum and dad, but marriage was going through the process of legalization. And when it says virgin, it means that. And this incident with the visit of Gabriel is really important because it tells us that even before 1960, they knew where babies came from. Mary understood how to get pregnant, and she knew there was no way that she could be. But the angel says to her, Mary, you found favour with God. Now listen, this is what's going to happen. And Jesus is going to be great. What a wonderful thing to be told as a mother-to-be when you're just on the verge of conceiving and you don't know it's going to happen, that your son will be great. And this is what Mary said to the angel Gabriel. She said, I am the Lord's slave. Now, the word she used in the original Greek is the slave that does the mucky jobs. It's not the top slave, not the slave that's the maitre d', not the one who's in charge of the kitchen. It's the one that looks after emptying the bedpans and stuff like that. It's that sort of a slave. And she says, I am that to the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. The message of Christmas is this, that God wants to come and have a discussion with you, and he wants you to sign on the dotted line and say, let it be to me. God doesn't consider slavery the way that we do with our historical lens, but he is dead keen for people to sign up and say, I want to serve you. The message of the good news is this, that we can all be God's slaves. And you say, well, that doesn't sound very good news to me. Do you know what? I've been God's slave now for years. And it's good because God is the best one to serve. Bob Dylan, when he first became a Christian, and I know he's walked on an odd journey, but he talks about himself as being a Christian today. Bob Dylan wrote this song, You've Got to Serve Somebody. And it's a great song, and people heard it was in the charts, and people thought it was fantastic, but they didn't really realise what he was talking about. But what he was saying is, you've got to serve somebody, so you may as well choose that person that you're going to have to serve. You're going to either have to serve drugs or sex or rock and roll or alcohol or cigarettes, or you're going to have to serve something or somebody. I know somebody who serves the golf course. I'd love to say I know somebody who serves at the tennis court, but I don't know anybody who serves at the tennis court. But you know what? Thank you. Thank you very much. God bless you. May you have a Merry Christmas. Santa will come and see you today. So what I want you to understand is this, that when we choose to serve God, he's a good master. But this is a big ask. When we talk to people about Jesus, we're making a big ask, because Jesus will never force himself on anybody. He didn't force Jesus into the womb of Mary. Mary said, let it be to me. And do you know what? She conceived. That's how it happened. And when you go into the second reading that we had, which is the magnificent cat. This is that when Mary says, "The mighty one has done great things for me, and his name is holy." Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. That's very interesting that she uses those words. I think today we would call her blessed, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Yes. I think for many, many generations we have called her blessed. But she also knew how the world worked. And she knew that the generation in which she lived would call her something very rude indeed. Because they knew that she was pregnant before she was married. And the Bible has one instance in it where it indicates that they were talking about Jesus as being the illegitimate son of Mary. And there are extra biblical records that tell us that people talked about Jesus as being illegitimate. But he wasn't illegitimate, because when he was baptized, his father said in a loud voice that everybody heard, "This is my beloved son. With him I am well pleased." We need to remember today that Mary was taking on a lot. She was taking on an unexpected pregnancy. She was taking on a pregnancy before she was married. Very quickly, Joseph married her, but he didn't have intercourse with her until after Jesus was born. And then all the brothers and sisters came along. James, Judas, Joseph, Salome, all of these others came along. But you know what? Jesus was born of a virgin, and this was because she chose it. You know what? You will never be a Christian because God has chosen you. Now, some of you are going to say, "Hang on, but I believe he has chosen me." Yeah, I believe he's chosen me. But you also have to choose him. We have to choose him. This is the good news. This is what the gospel is all about. This is what Jesus being born in the back end of a house where the visitor's room was full, so he had to be born in the stable where the animals were. This is why Jesus came, because God wanted us to be family. Jesus wanted to be part of our lives. God said, in Psalm 8, "Ask of me and I'll give the nations as an inheritance for you." Today, 2.4 billion people following Jesus in this world. England's a bit of a dark place, but it's getting lighter. Growth in the church from 2% of the population to 10% in the last 40 years. But you go all over the world, and there are people worshipping Jesus today. People are remembering his birthday today, whether he was born on the 25th of December, whether it was September the 16th, or whether it was somewhere else. That doesn't really matter. We remember the king's birthday on a particular day, but not the day he was born either. What we do today is we remember Jesus. It's a day in which the world remembers him. It's a day in which his people remember him. And we remember him because we have signed on the dotted line. We have said, "Yes, Jesus, we want you in our lives. This is the joy of our hearts." The last thing is the third reading. And it says, "The angel said to them, 'A baby has been born.'" No. You read it. It doesn't say that. The angel said, "A saviour has been born." Messiah uses those two words, Saviour and Messiah. This is a big deal. This is no birth of a little Jewish boy. This is the birth of Saviour and Messiah. There is no other way to God other than through Jesus. The Bible makes that excruciatingly clear because Jesus said it. And you can read it in John's Gospel. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." This is the Gospel. This is the good news of Christmas. This is why I rejoice, because Jesus has come. Matthew starts his Gospel almost with the words, "And he shall be called Emmanuel," which means God with us. He ends his Gospel with these words, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Jesus has come to be God with us. And his last words before his ascension to his disciples were this: "I'm with you always." This is the whole message of the Gospel of Matthew. He's God's with us now. Now, today, I don't know, some of you might be going home just to be by yourself. Some of you might be going home to be quiet. Some of you might even be going on to work to do a shift. But you know, wherever you are, God wants to be. He'll never force himself on you. But if you say, "Yes, Jesus, I want to be with the Christ of Christmas today," then you will have a very special Christmas indeed. Yes? Go on then.